Yeah, good morning, Alex.
So in some scares, they can reveal your password. That really indicates a real threat. How do they do that?
Well, one thing we love about the online environment and criminal activity is whilst we're sitting here today having a chat about, you know, what it means and what it is and how it happens, there's criminals out there thinking of the next inventive way to socially engineer someone to get them to divulge usernames, passwords, personally identifying information and the like. So the length and breadth of how things like this happen is just amazing. But invariably, it's all through social engineering. When we look at things like phishing, when we look at things like business email compromise, which is probably the second biggest thing and a part of phishing globally at the moment, it is the use of a trusted brand and a marketing call to action to get you to do something you wouldn't ordinarily do.
You mentioned business email compromise. What is that?
So that's, I call it a relatively new term in cybersecurity. And what it refers to is, again, there are many and varied ways about how criminals get people. They send an email from one person, organisation, invariably a CEO, and they might send a spoofed email that purports to come from them to perhaps an accounts clerk in the organisation saying, please pay this bill, super urgent, and, you know, it's really important. And so the accounts person gets it, looks legit, they pay it, and it goes to a criminal bank account.
Wow, so it's, you know, it's gone beyond just, you know, getting a hold of personal accounts. Now it's gone to business, which is really scary. There's a lot more money moving around there.
Absolutely. So the FBI, admittedly, it's underreported everywhere globally, but they had $2.7 billion of cybercrime reported in the US last year.
Whoa.
Half of that, $1.35 billion, was through business email compromise.
Oh my good, that number just made me cry a little bit. That's a lot of money, wow.
Well, even in Australia, you know, reported cybercrime last year was $487 million. And that's, again, that's just what's reported. We don't know what isn't reported.
Jeez.
So this is a pretty profitable and lucrative thing for criminals.
Yeah, incredibly so. And, you know, I think most of us has probably seen a familiar email. Like, I'm a prince and I need my money because I can't get into Australia, send it through Western Credit Union or something like that. But, you know, there's comedians like Joe Lycett who've kind of made a bit of a career out of this, and he responds to them and kind of like he doesn't send any money but continues to respond to them, strike up a conversation and wastes their time a little bit. Is it safe to respond to these emails, or should you just immediately delete them, like, you know, regret and forget, sort of?
Absolutely. The last thing you want to do is, and it might seem novel at the time, is get caught up in any conversation with them. But these criminals are incredibly well scripted. They know the answers to give to the right time. So thinking you're wasting your time, you may be a little bit, but you're better off if just deleting it and or going into your email settings and blocking that sender for future emails.
And what can we do to protect ourselves from phishing scams? Like, you kind of can receive an email from anyone these days.
Absolutely, and it makes it really difficult. And a couple of things make it difficult. Firstly, in the mainstream media, we see a lot of clickbait. So, for example, you'll see, you know, say in the Sydney Morning Herald online this week, it'll say the top five things to do in Sydney this weekend. Or it will say, click here to see pictures of the new royal baby that you haven't seen before. Or there'll be these hanging out their lines and think, oh yeah, I'm interested in whatever the genre is. So we get drawn into mainstream media, and that means the criminals, when they do a similar thing, you're already inclined to do it because you're used to seeing it. So they'll use trusted brands like the Tax Office, Australia Post, Dan Murphy's for, you know, an alcohol promotion, you know, all these different things like that to get you to click on a link. And that's what you've got to be really wary of, is the old, if it seems too good to be true, you can guarantee
it. Is it always a link? Like, I mean, I know sometimes they ask you to, send, like, buy iTunes vouchers or send money, but if there's a link, is that, like, their main, like, the easiest way for them to take your information?
The link is the easiest way because, you know, if they download malicious software onto your computer, and that might be a keystroke logger, for example, then that malicious software just can't miraculously appear on your device. So the reason for the link is to get that download to happen. You know, there needs to be a doing and action. So if you're on a laptop, for example, you click on the link, you have no antivirus or other protection, then they'll try and download a, perhaps a keystroke logger onto your system. And the next time you go to do something with a login, whether it's social media, whether it's banking, whether it's anything in between, they'll attempt to capture those details and replay them elsewhere. Remembering that we generally use the same password across multiple logins. So that password you use for your Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo account is often also used for other logins as well.
So don't do that, because
No, that's right. That's the big
I'm going to stop doing that now. That scares
and
me.
the iTunes card is just a classic kinetic way of doing things. Of, you know, you must pay this outstanding bill, go and buy iTunes cards and do it that way. It's a great way for them to anonymize themselves and make some quick, easy money.
Nigel, I'd love to keep talking to you about this because it's something that scares the Lord out of me all the time, but unfortunately that's all we have time for. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Great to chat with you. Well, thanks, Don.
Bye. That was Nigel Fair giving us a bit of sage wisdom into phishing scams. So I know that my grandpa especially, he seems to always get them and then forward them to me, and he's never been caught with them. He's never clicked on the link or anything, but he just kind of forwards them to me, and I don't know whether it's a cry for help or he just thinks that this is a really good deal. So I don't know, if your grandfather's on Gmail like mine is, maybe go and have a bit of a chat to him now.